Good morning. And I usually say good morning to the Lindley Church, who I trust is listening, and to others who aren't members of our church, but who I understand have plugged in. I want to begin this morning by telling you one of the most interesting things that's ever happened to me. Years ago, Forest Lawn Mortuary in Southern California had a Rolodex. Now, I'm not sure if they're still doing this. I suspect they are. At any rate, for several years, I was on that Rolodex. If you went to Forest Lawn for a funeral and you didn't have a pastor or somebody to officiate the service, they would look at this Rolodex and try to match you with somebody in the Rolodex, and then they would have that person conduct the service. So I was on call to do funerals. And as I recall, in the years that I did that, and my motive for doing it was I got the people who never darkened the door of a church, and I had a subtle way of sneaking it into the message. But at any rate, as I recall, I preached just shy of 200 funerals. Now, add to that the factor that I've been a pastor for, just shy of 40 years. So I've done a few funerals. Now, the ones we did at Forest Lawn, and some of the ones I've done as pastor of this church, we've had an open mic kind of thing where anybody in the congregation can stand up and tell what they remember about the deceased person. Or people speak and they talk about that person. The most common thing I've heard after being the officiant at over 200 funerals is, what would you say? He or she was a good person. No matter what kind of person they were in life, the minute you die, you're a good person. You know what I'm talking about? You've been to a funeral where no matter what the person was like, but he was a good person. Could have been alcoholic, could have been a criminal, but he was a good person. They found something good about him. Now, for years, I sat and listened to that thinking, that just goes to show you they don't know much about the Bible, right? The Bible says we're sinners. It never occurred to me that the Bible talks about goodness. It really hit me when I studied the book of Proverbs. Lo and behold, the book of Proverbs talks about being a good person. Now, if you've been with me as I've been going through this series on the topics in Proverbs, you know that I've covered the subject of righteousness and then wickedness, and that righteousness is a big theme in the book of Proverbs. Well, lo and behold, I discovered that the Bible mentions, the book of Proverbs mentions the word good more than it mentions the word righteous. It mentions good 62 times and righteous 54 times. So, what does the book of Proverbs say about goodness? Now, let me start by just defining the word. The Hebrew word translated good in the book of Proverbs means excellent, valuable, kind, benefit. Now, as I've looked at the Proverbs where that word is used, it seems to me that the word benefit probably captures the idea more than any other word, though there may be some nuances in different proverbs. The idea is that goodness is being of benefit. Now, the benefit may be to you, or the benefit may be to somebody else, but there is a benefit. Matter of fact, the English word has a variety of meanings, but it means useful and beneficial. So, that's, I think, the basic nuance of the word. The question is, what does the book of Proverbs say about goodness, usefulness, beneficial. Well, as I laid out all the proverbs on that subject, it seemed to me that some of them dealt with good things, which I'll talk about in a minute. And another group talked about good people. So I'm going to use that as sort of the outline for discussing this subject. What does the Bible in the book of Proverbs have to say about goodness related to things? Well, to put it rather simply, there are a number of things that the book of Proverbs considers good. For example, there is a reference in chapter 31 about good merchandise. Now, that would sound very familiar to us. We would use the word good pertaining to merchandise. Proverbs 31:18 says, "She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp goes not out by night." Now, as you will recall, Proverbs 31 is talking about the virtuous woman. That's the King James word that's used, and sort of that chapter gets known as the virtuous woman. Actually, the word virtuous is so full that perhaps a better translation is excellent, which would include virtue, but it would include other things as well. That's the context of this. So what this is saying simply is that a excellent wife makes things, and she discovers that her merchandise that she makes is good. It's profitable. It's beneficial. And that motivates her to work all night. She plans ahead. She works because she is producing good merchandise. Now, as I mentioned, that's one of the ways we would use the word good, isn't it? Did you ever buy anything that was something you thought was good? Or a better question is, did you ever buy anything you thought this was bad merchandise? Or we would speak of a good deal. Well, that's probably related to this. She made things and made money, and it was profitable, and so she just was motivated to make more because it was a good deal. There are other things called good in the book of Proverbs. There is good news. 25:25 says, "As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country." And 15:30 says, "The light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy." Wow, that's interesting. The first proverb I quoted talked about good news coming from a far country, and it was like a cold drink of water to a weary soul. The second one talked about the light of the eyes rejoicing when a good report came, and it was made the bones healthy. So you can see the idea of benefit to you and perhaps to others. A good report makes you feel good. That's sort of the point of that second proverb. And one coming from a far country is refreshing. Now, in the ancient world, a message coming from the far country took a long time. So perhaps the implication here is that you've been waiting a long time to hear this, and when you finally hear it, it is like a drink of cold water on a hot day. It's refreshing. Now, I can't help but think good news from a far country. Now, what would a good preacher do with that? I can't help but think in the New Testament, there's some good news from a far country. It's the gospel. As a matter of fact, as you know, the word gospel in the New Testament means good news. The gospel is good news from a far country. Heaven announces the good news that Jesus died for our sin, arose from the dead. And if you do nothing more than trust him, you're given the gift of heaven. You're given the gift of eternal life. So that's good news from a far country. Another good thing in the book of Proverbs is teaching. Proverbs 4:2 says, "For I give you good doctrine. Ah, the word doctrine, of course, refers to teaching. So Solomon is saying to his son, what I'm teaching you is good, meaning it is beneficial. So there's a good teaching, which leads me to say there's also a bad teaching. Then it talks about a good path. In 2:9 it says, then you will understand righteousness, justice, and equity, and every good path. 19:8 says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Now, if you put these two together, what comes up is this. There is a path. That path consists of righteousness, justice, equity, and wisdom. And those qualities are called a path that is good. Now, that is an interesting point. I think that the book of Proverbs talks about righteousness, and it talks about goodness, and it talks about wisdom. There's a sense in which those three things overlap, and there's a sense in which they are distinct. So if you do what is righteous, that's wise. If you're going to be wise, you will do what is right. But in this particular passage, or these two verses, it's telling us that that's a good path. That's a beneficial way to go. Go down the path of righteousness and justice and equity and wisdom. That's a good thing to do. I thought of this, and parents tell their children, be good, right? All parents tell their kids, be good. What does that mean? Well, in the book of Proverbs, he spells out what that means. It's as if God is telling his children, be good. This is the good path. This is the way to walk. This is the way to live. And the good path is righteousness, justice, equity, and wisdom. There are other things on that path, but these two proverbs spell out those four. Now think about this for a second. There's a good teaching and a good path. Now those aren't put together in the book of Proverbs, but if you isolate the proverbs that talk about goodness and then you organize them, you could almost see there's a progression here. You get good news, good teaching, and are told about a good path. And I can't help but see the parallel to that spiritually in the New Testament. We hear the good news of the gospel, we hear the good teaching of the scripture, and we live a good path. Seems to me those things go together. Then he talks about a good place. If you're walking down this path, you're in a good place. Chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 say, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the path of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Now again, I've mentioned this before, in the book of Proverbs, land is in the context of the Old Testament. Even the word earth, and when it talks about being removed from the earth or the land, it's saying, in light of what Moses taught the Israelites, God says, I'm going to put you in the land, and if you obey me, you'll stay there and be blessed. If you disobey me, you will be dispersed. And that's what this proverb is saying, this passage in Proverbs. That the good place to be in is going down the good path, and the benefit is, that's good, that's a benefit because you will stay in the land. And if you don't do that, you will be in exile from the land. Then it mentions two other things. One is a good reputation. Now, it seems to me this is a way we would use the word good. Even today, we'd say that person has a good reputation. In this case, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them on the table of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Ah, you'll have good esteem, a good reputation in the sight of God and man. Now, what is he saying? Well, take these truths that are part of the path, a good path, things like mercy and truth, and he says, bind them on your neck, write them on the tables of your heart. So he's saying that if you have this internal controlling principle of goodness and mercy in your life, God smiles on you. And for that matter, so does other people. So if you live by mercy and truth, you have a good reputation. But obviously, if you don't live by truth and mercy, you have a bad reputation. Years ago in San Diego, there was an incident called the barking telephone call. In the middle of the night, a lady's phone rang. This is before they had cell phones. And she would answer it, and all she heard on the other line was a barking dog. She reported it to the police after it happened a number of times, and they somehow couldn't trace it. It wasn't long enough or whatever. And finally, they figured out it was her next door neighbor. And what was going on is her dog barked. So every time her dog barked and woke up her neighbor, he called and barked like a dog to wake her up. Take that. Now that is not dealing with the situation in truth or mercy. And consequently, you get tagged with the barking dog neighbor. A bad reputation, when it would have been so much simpler to simply deal in truth and mercy by sitting down and talking to her. At any rate, this passage is saying that if you follow the path of mercy and truth, you will have a good reputation. Now, similar to that is the fact that the Proverbs talks about having a good name. 22:1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now you have to think about this proverb a little bit. Character is the root. A good name is the fruit. Loving favor is not just admiration, it's affection. The point is, it is better to have good character that produces a good reputation and affection and the favor of friends than to have great riches in silver and gold. Wow. I think all of us want a good name, right? Would you rather have it than a lot of money? This proverb is saying you're better off with a good name than if you were rich. Shakespeare said, "The purest treasure mortal times afford is spotless reputation." Notice, the purest treasure is a spotless reputation. Before he made his now famous flight to Paris, Charles Lindbergh said that he would not sell his name for the movie or any other project. When he returned, he had offers galore for making money. Matter of fact, William R. Hearst, remember him? He was the famous newspaper owner. thought that he would get him to lend his name to a story of his life that would inspire young Americans. So Hearst's motive must have been pure, but his strategy was to give Lindbergh money. When Hearst offered Lindbergh a check for $500,000, that's a lot of money. That's a $500,000. Today, can you imagine what it was like that many years ago? Several million. Lindbergh refused to take it. Surprised, Hearst handed him the check, asking him to destroy it, thinking it would weaken his resolve and he would cash it. Lindbergh, however, took the check, tore it up, and tossed it into the fireplace. He chose character over cash. He said, I'm not going to sell the story. I'm not going to sell my name. And he was true to his word. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather win the lottery of several, well, let's make it real interesting, $100 million, or have a good name? Well, the book of Proverbs says, you're better off with a good name than a lot of money. A lot of money. Silver and gold. So, here's what I've done so far. I've talked about good things. Good merchandise. Good news. Good teaching. Good path. All of which produces a good reputation and a good name. Now, the book of Proverbs talks about each of those in isolation from each other, and I've simply laid them out on the table and organized them. And it seemed to me there was a progression here, that if you hear good news, and you listen to good teaching, and you follow a good path of righteousness and mercy and truth and wisdom, then you will have a good reputation and a good name. Make sense? All right. I said at the beginning I was going to divide this subject into two parts. Good things and good people. I've just talked about good things like good merchandise and good reputation. I want to now focus on those proverbs that speak about good people and perhaps analyze the idea a little more. For example, it just talks about good people. In 14:14, Proverbs says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. You know, we could spend a whole message on that one, couldn't we? A good man. Now keep in mind what I've said about goodness. It involves righteousness and truth and mercy and wisdom. A good man is satisfied. We've seen so far that if you have that good path of righteousness and mercy and truth and wisdom, You have a good name. Now this verse is saying, and you'll be satisfied. So that may explain why you would rather have the good name than riches. Huh. You think riches could satisfy? Not always. I think most of us think that if we had enough money, it would solve just about every problem we have. Well, go interview people who have a lot of money and you'll discover that's not necessarily true. You can have a lot of money and be miserable. But this good person is satisfied from above, satisfied with the things of God. So goodness is being satisfied with the Lord and with his word and of his ways. Now, what I'm going to do is organize some Proverbs, again, in sort of a progression. It starts with the heart. Now, I've already alluded to that in the way I developed this at the beginning, but listen to Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is merry, and that is the Hebrew word good, of a merry heart has a continual feast. Those who are afflicted with evil are afflicted. But he says those of a good heart are merry. They're happy. It's like having a continuous feast regardless of the external circumstances. The really good person is good internally, has a good heart, and so their happiness isn't dependent upon circumstances, it's depending upon their relationship to the Lord and His Word. So it's like having a continual feast, which is simply a figure of speech and a metaphor for just being happy and pleasant. Whereas the days of the afflicted are evil. When you depart from the Lord, there's trouble. That's sort of the idea. One author says, the true and real happiness of a person is thus defined, not by external things, but by the state of the heart. So this verse speaks of a merry heart, literally translated a good heart. Those with a happy heart can sing in prison as well as in the palace. So there's a good heart. Then it talks about a good desire. 11:23 says, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The righteous desire that which is good. But listen to what this verse says. It says, the desire of the righteous is only good. Righteous only desire what is good. And it then says the wicked will experience wrath or anger. So I think the idea here is that if you have a good heart that desires goodness, you're going to get goodness. We've already seen several proverbs that said you're going to be benefited. Let me put it like this. Goodness boomerangs. You know what a boomerang is? When you were a kid, you ever play with a boomerang? Isn't that what you throw and it comes back to you? Goodness is a boomerang. Or he talks about a good eye. He says in Proverbs 22, verse 9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Those who see a need and have a generous heart will be blessed because they share their substance with the poor. Now again, the idea is you have a desire for goodness, and to be specific, you are a benefit to other people, in this case, poor people. And so what does he say? He who is with a generous eye will be blessed. It's going to boomerang. Goodness boomerangs. Or he speaks about good words. Now follow the progression. There's a good heart with a good desire. And now as a result, there are several proverbs that speak about good words. So let me just rattle them off. For example, 12:14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the compensation of a man's hand will be rendered to him. The point being, a blessing bestowed on others benefits you. What is true of words is also true of your work. So good words and hard work benefit the one who speaks them and the one who does them. One more time. Goodness boomerangs. It benefits others and you. Or 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. By the way, the first part of this proverb is really interesting. Anxiety in heart causes depression. You ever been depressed? Know people that are depressed? Wonder what causes it? Well, one option is anxiety. Now, later in this series, I'm going to do a whole message on just depression. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about being down and discouraged and being depressed. So I'm going to do a whole message on that. But because this one is on goodness, I want to deal just with the last part of that proverb. The last part of that proverb says, but a good word makes it glad. A good word is a word of sympathy or kindness or encouragement or a word from God. And that encourages the heart. It makes the heart glad. So if you're anxious, you're depressed, and somebody comes along and gives you a good word, a word of encouragement, and that makes the heart glad. Now, what does that say to us? Maybe we should speak more words of encouragement and there would be less depression. At any rate, that's the point here. Someone has said, friendly encouragement with a sympathetic heart cheers the sorrowful soul. So we need to just learn to speak an encouraging word. That's not a bad thing, or it's not a homework assignment. This week, especially in these circumstances, call somebody. Just give them an encouraging word. It can make the heart glad. You ever call somebody and say thank you for calling? Had that happen a lot lately. All right. Speak an encouraging word. Let's get rid of some of the depression in the world. Another proverb on speech is 13:2. It says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Now again, I want to deal with the part of the proverb that deals with goodness, since our subject, that's our subject today. And notice it says, a man will eat well by the fruit of his words, or the fruit of his mouth. The fruit of his mouth refers to this edifying, encouraging, comforting word. Such a speech not only benefits other people, but it is beneficial to the one who speaks. So he eats well who speaks well, meaning goodness, boomerangs. Goodness not only benefits others, it benefits you. Or 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? And again, he's talking about speech. And he is saying there is genuine satisfaction in giving able, honest, helpful answers at just the right time to meet a particular need. Again, goodness boomerangs. You are going to benefit. You are going to benefit from speaking a word to others. I've had this happen numerous times, but it happened to me again yesterday. That is, I have read something in the scripture, and not long after that, somebody's asked me a question that I wouldn't have had the answer to had I not just read it. Yesterday morning, I got up, and I had my study time all planned out. But when I woke up, I thought about something I wasn't planning on dealing with, but it was related, so I thought I'd go deal with it, and I did. Later in the day, somebody called me and asked me virtually about that very issue. And I was able to share with them some things I had read in the scripture that had I not studied it that morning, I would have not remembered. Which is a good argument for why you should read your Bible all the time, so that you can give an answer of your mouth that will bring you joy. And after I got done with that phone conversation, I thought, wow, that's just like the Lord, to give me something beforehand so I'd be prepared. It's happened many times in my life. One more on speech. 15:30 says, the light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Makes the bones healthy? Yeah. A good report, a twinkle of an eye, a smile on the face, brings joy to the heart of other people. A beaming countenance is contagious. Hearing good news is good for the body. It makes a man's whole being feel good. So this proverb implies that emotional health contributes to physical well-being. And again, the book of Proverbs has a number of things to say about that, which I'm going to address later in this series. The connection between the mind and the body is laid out in the book of Proverbs. At any rate, at this point, it simply is saying that goodness boomerangs. You speak a good word, and it's healthy to your bones. You feel better when you've spoken a good word of encouragement to somebody else. Then it not only talks about a good heart with a good desire to be of benefit to other people and speaking good words. This good person not only has that good desire and good words, he or she has good deeds. 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Interesting. That a good man is thinking about other people, not just his children, but his children's children. And he leaves them an inheritance, which might refer to money. We would think of it that way. But in the context of the book of Proverbs, you can't help but wonder if it doesn't include things like justice and truth and mercy and wisdom. And again, here is a person who is blessing somebody else. He's a benefit not only to his children, but to his children's children. And so, if you follow that kind of a path, according to the book of Proverbs, there is great reward. And again, there are several proverbs that talk about the reward. For example, 13:21 says, evil pursues sinners, but the righteous shall be repaid. Sinners are dogged by the hound of misfortune, physical harm, bad reputation, loss of possessions. But the righteous enjoy the good things. Again, goodness boomerangs. You are repaid, 13:21 says. Or 16:20 says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Again, the idea is you will be rewarded with good. To give heed to God's word, according to this proverb, is, well, he says, you trust in the Lord, happy is he. He will be rewarded. One more time. Goodness boomerangs. You benefit if you are following the good path, according to the book of Proverbs. 28:10 says, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall in his own pit. But the blameless will inherit good. And one more time. Do I sound like a broken record? You're going to benefit. You're going to inherit goodness. Goodness boomerangs. You benefit from it. Then you not only are rewarded, you find favor. So Proverbs 11:21 says, "He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil." Those who seek good of others find favor in their eyes. Now, there are several other proverbs that talk about this favor. It says in 12:2, "A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intent he will condemn. So the Lord accepts with pleasure and favor those who are kind to others." So you're kind, but you find favor with the Lord. Goodness boomerangs. You do what's good and you benefit. 13:15 says, "Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." In other words, people with sound judgment are valued, they're loved, they find favor. And one more time, goodness boomerangs. You do what's good, righteousness, justice, mercy, truth, wisdom, and you benefit. Good understanding gains favor. Then 14:22 says, Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. So you devise good, and what do you get? Mercy and truth. Wow. Did I say it again? Can you imagine what I'm going to say next? Goodness boomerangs. You do what's good, and you will benefit. Now, what I've done so far is I have talked about good things and good people, right? Well, what I want to do, I'm still talking about good people, but there's a particularly good person I want to talk about. I mentioned her before, but Proverbs 31 talks about this excellent wife. Well, there are other verses that talk about her. For example, 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." So if you find a wife, and I assume in the context of the book of Proverbs it's a good wife, Solomon says, "You have found a good thing." Now, I can just imagine people screaming their heads off saying, "Yeah, but what about a wife finding a good husband?" Well, keep in mind, the book of Proverbs is written by a father to his son, and so he's emphasizing find a good wife. But obviously, if you find a good husband, you have found a good thing. But then listen to this. 31:12 says, now this is speaking of the excellent wife, "She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." She does him good all the days of her life. One commentator who wrote many years ago in the 19th century said, "She studies his character. She makes herself aware of his particular temperament and humors, his likes and his dislikes, in order that she may, as far as possible, from ability and from principle, accommodate herself to them, seeking in all things to please and gratify him. She devotes herself to the advance of her husband's honor and reputation, his health of body and mind, his substantial interest, his temperamental and spiritual benefit, and of course, the benefit of his family." End of quote. Interesting. If you find a good wife, you have found a good thing. You are greatly benefited. Now, there's one other proverb I want to mention before I sum all this up. And that is, you can do good and there can be evil consequences. 17:13 says, whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. So, I've said over and over and over and over again that doing good benefits other people and you. Well, there is a proverb that says, you may do good and somebody may repay you evil. What's that proverb? No good deed will go unpunished. Well, that can happen too. And the book of Proverbs recognizes that. Someone has said, to render evil for good is devil-like. To render evil for evil is man-like. To render good for evil is God-like. And to return blessing for evil is Christ-like. Now, let me sum all this up. I think if I were going to try to sum it up in one simple sentence, I would say something like this. From the heart, if you desire good and you do good, you will benefit others and you will be benefited. Let me sum it all up. Goodness boomerangs. Goodness benefits. You send the benefit off, and lo and behold, it comes back and you are benefited. Now, I want to close by making a couple of observations. For example, I've said now that the book of Proverbs talks about righteousness, wisdom, and now goodness, and that those things overlap, and they do. But yet they're distinct. For example, righteousness is doing what's right based on some kind of law. So doing what's right is wise. But there's also this idea of doing what's wise is good and righteous. But it seems to me that you could do something good that isn't necessarily righteous and isn't necessarily wise. It's just good. It's a benefit. It isn't based on some law. It isn't the wisest thing. It's just good. A very simple illustration is you're walking down the street and there's some trash that somebody didn't put in the trash can, and you pick it up and you put it in the trash can. Is there some law that said you had to do that so you could say, I was righteous, I obeyed the law? No, not exactly. Would you say that's wise? Perhaps. But maybe you could just say it was good. There are good things you can do. Ah, that's the point. Now, let me mention a couple of more proverbs. There is a proverb that says, the eyes of the Lord are on every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. So perhaps I should end by saying, you benefit others and you benefit yourself, but there's a proverb that says, just do good, and the Lord sees that, and the Lord rewards that. He also punishes the evil. So this should be a conviction to the evil and a comfort to the good. Or there's a proverb who says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. People with a perverse heart will not prosper, and people with a perverse tongue will fall into trouble. The Lord sees it all. Or 14:19 says, the evil will bow before the Lord and the wicked at the gate of the righteous. In other words, God sees the evil and the good, and eventually good will prevail. Someone has said, this proverb is proverbial in time, but it is certain in eternity. But the bottom line is this. Did you know the Bible says the Lord went around doing good? I know that verse is there, but I don't think it stuck. You know what I mean? Until I was discussing all of this with a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, and he said, oh yeah, Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I'd like to conclude by simply saying, the book of Proverbs says, go do good and you will benefit others and you will be benefited, and the Lord watches and the Lord rewards. But from a New Testament point of view, let's be like Jesus. Just go around doing good. That's a quote. Acts 10:38. Who went about doing good. Just go do good. A number of years ago, there was a man in Michigan who got a huge surprise when he found thousands of dollars in cash tucked inside of a thrift store cushion. His name was Howard Kirby. He bought a couch at Habitat for Humanity Restore to spruce up somebody else's house. And his daughter-in-law unzipped the pillow because it was uncomfortable, and he found in it $70 cushion. He found all kinds of cash. It came to $43,170. What would you do? What would you do if you bought a couch and then the cushion was $43,170? He began to make a list of all the ways he would use the money. Everything just ran through his mind. I could pay off the house. I could get a roof put on the house. I could retire real good. And then he said, however, he spoke to a lawyer to see if he could legally keep the money. And the lawyer said that he could. But his faith told him that would be wrong. So he said, I'm a born-again Christian, and what would Jesus do? Jesus would give the money back to the rightful owner. So he said, he went back to the store, and the store got him in touch with the family who had donated the couch. It had belonged to their grandfather who had passed away a year ago. It was just crazy, the granddaughter said, that Kirk landed on the money. They didn't even know it was in their father's couch. So they were completely awestruck. But he stated that he was glad to return the money to its rightful owner because it did not belong to him in the first place. And then he said this, as a born-again Christian, I want to do what Christ would do. I think that's what he would want me to do. And that's my conclusion from studying the goodness in the book of Proverbs and remembering Jesus went about doing good. So maybe that's what we should do. Amen? Think of something good you can do this week. Something as simple as a spoken word of encouragement. Father, thank you for giving us the book of Proverbs. Thank you for giving us insight into these little nuances, righteousness and wisdom and goodness. But Lord, way beyond all that, may the Spirit of God take your word and motivate us to do that which is good in your sight so we can be like your Son. In whose name we pray, amen.